All right, what the Lord laid on my heart to do is talk today about the language of prayer. Prayer is a language sometimes. Sometimes we make a language unto itself. You know, we don't want to get all religious about it, but yet there's things that we can do to make our prayer life better, I believe. And that's why I wanted to purchase these books and sow them into your life. To me, prayer is probably one of the most important components when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. And I think we kind of take it for granted. I don't know about you, but have you ever, you know, I kind of sometimes pray the same prayer all the time. I know right before I preach, sometimes I do. That's my activator. That's why I do it. But other times, you know, you can kind of get into a rut. So I think it's good to expand a little bit. To me, prayer doesn't have to be pretty or polished, but, you know, it has to just come from the heart. And that's the most important thing when we do pray. You know, but nevertheless, as I say that, I think we can learn how to pray better prayers, and that comes by when you and I learn how to pray the Word of God. Because like I mentioned, there's an anointing that's on the Word, and when we pray the Word, I believe we pray with power. To me, it takes a lot of the pressure off of us, you know, and what we have to expend in energy, spiritual energy, for lack of a better weird term. But anyway, when you pray the Word, you're just resting in the Word. And the language of prayer, to me, is about communion, confrontation, petition, and intercession. Those are big religious words, and we probably won't break them all down today. Jesus had some things to tell us about prayer because he was a man of prayer. And it's important that we learn how to do that. The passage I want to launch from today is found in Matthew chapter 6, and read verses 5 to 8. Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8. And what it's talking about here, I'm going to stop right before the Lord's Prayer. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer. But I want to do the first few verses leading up to that because it has some great information that you and I can really glean today. It says, when you pray, You do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You ought to get excited right there. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for the many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that's on the Word of God to be able to do its work inside of us, that divine energy that's on the Word, to be able to accomplish that for which it was sent. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that's here today, Lord, to break every yoke of bondage that's on our life. I thank you, Lord, for the gift you've instilled inside of me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation today. In Jesus' name, amen. So ciphering this out a little bit and kind of unpacking it and try to understand everything that God is trying to tell us here. Kind of a confusing thing. You know, God says he knows what we need, so a lot of people says, well, if God knows what I need, why ask? You know, but God also tells us to ask, so it's kind of a circular reasoning there, so you have to, you know, do it anyway. You can never surprise God, the Father, with anything you ever ask. You know, he's not going to be up there and, you know, you're praying something and he's never heard it before and he's not going to turn to Jesus and say, wow, I never seen that coming. You know what I mean? That'll never happen in heaven. You know, because God knows everything. He knows what we need before we need it, but yet he still wants us to ask. And what I found out sometimes is that, you know, you and I can have communication problems. Communication is, you know, whether you want to accept it or not, is really important. Really important in a relationship. You know, you men should be listening right now, you know, because communication is very important in a relationship. You know, we've not evolved like they do on some of the spacey movies where we evolve, where you don't have to talk anymore. You just think the thought that, you know, we're not going to see that. You know, God can give us a word of knowledge about each other every now and then. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. But for the most part, I really feel we need to work on our communication skills because the language of prayer is being able to communicate with our Heavenly Father. Yes, I do know. Like I said, I do know God knows our heart. I do not deny that. But I still feel that by us becoming better in the way that we communicate to our Father, is, you know, I think we're going to do it for our benefit and not God's. But we need to be benefited so we can grow spiritually and to get where we need to be. So the language barrier that we have now, I always like to throw this out as a disclaimer. You know, I'm not saying God would not answer your prayer if you didn't do this, but we always pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. I mean, it's just kind of set up that way because Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid our price. So we really technically, based on our own good works, cannot go to the Father alone. We have to go because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're about ready to get in a car wreck or you're falling off a cliff and you say, God help, I believe he'll probably answer that prayer. You know what I mean? You know, but for the most part, if you can do it, I think we ought to do it the way the Bible explains it to us, that we pray to the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Because he's the one who's worthy to make that. So I just like to throw that out. Now, to me, it's like going to a different country. Many of you probably been to a different country. You know, sometimes there's places in the United States that feels like a different country, if you know what I mean. You know, but we don't know the lingo. We don't know the lingo. You know, and I mentioned, I've been in Greece. I used to do missionary work over there a little bit. And sometimes what would happen, you know, in my relationship with God there a little bit, I would go there and I'd do mission trips. I really enjoyed it. But yet I'd go out and I'd try to witness and, you know, do things. And sometimes maybe my translator wasn't with me. But, you know, the Bible was written in Greek. So me, I figured I could, you know, flip out a few words here and there. You know what I'm saying? And I knew about three or four words, you know, my first trip over there. And I just kind of, you know, said something about to this babe, this lady. She had a sick child there. And I knew the Greek word for Jesus and I knew the Greek word for healing. And so I just said that and the lady let me pray for her child. Yeah, but for the most part, it would have been better if I could have explained everything. But I couldn't really talk to her because I didn't know the language. Now, I do know, like I say, God knows her heart. But yet, I really want to be on the same page with him. When I communicate with him, I think there's things that you and I can do to be able to tap into him. And starting out, you know, for me, I was scared. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. We're all different. But when I first started out going to church and then, you know, praying, and sometimes you go in those groups and you're hypothetically supposed to pray, you know, I was always scared I would say something wrong. And it bothered me. I mean, I just wasn't confident in my communication to God. And it held me back for a little bit because I was always worried about, you know, I knew God would probably forgive me. I just didn't want to do something stupid in front of people. And I'll tell you what really blesses me as a pastor is when after we sing our last song that many of you will pray out in the congregation. Oh, I just love that. It's so exciting for me to see your growth and potential of what God's doing in your life. Now, like I say, heartfelt prayers are more important than pretty prayers. So we're not really going for pretty for the sake of pretty, but yet I think, you know, it's good to pray some nice prayers to God. Now, if we could increase our vocabulary, it would be better. And adults, no more words than babies, right? So I think as we mature in God, it's only natural in my thinking that we should be able to mature in our words that we know. I know, like in Christianity, and I try to be careful sometimes, like, you know, there's certain words that tie into us, you know, as a church and as Christians, you know, when I say things like, you know, when I said about intercession and petition, those are two words that talk about prayer. Intercession is kind of when you pray for somebody else. Petition is like a type of prayer that when you ask God, I mean, you can still pray those prayers and not know what it is, but yes, it's kind of know what they are. It does help a little bit. Now, all our prayers, I mean, I didn't write this down, but I'm just giving this out. All our prayers should not be about us. Amen? It's okay to pray for yourself, because I tell you what, sometimes if you don't pray for yourself, it sometimes feels that nobody's praying for you. Have you ever been there in your life? I think we all have. But, you know, we ought to learn how to grow in our prayer. So it's about, you know, it's just not about asking for stuff, but it's about worshiping our Father. And like I mentioned, you know, earlier when I was talking, it's about getting to the place where we want to linger. What I mean by linger, you just want to hang out there a little bit. You know, have you ever, I enjoy some conversations sometimes. Some conversations aren't as good, are they? Just to be honest, I mean, you know, you're in it and you're going to have to hang in there and in it to win it. But some conversations, have you ever talked to somebody and you just hoped that this conversation would never end? You know, you're just talking and it was so interesting and you were just really absorbed in that conversation. You know, and the way you're looking at me, some of you may have never done that before, but yeah, it is possible, you know, as a man too, especially, we can get in a conversation. But, you know, I get in a conversation, especially with somebody that I consider, you know, higher in their walk with God than I am. And I can want to learn from that person. I want to ask them some questions, you know, some things that, you know, how do you do this and how do you do that? And you just hope that conversation will never end. And see, I want to get us to the place where when we go to our prayer closet, and we should have a place we pray, you need to have a place to go. And if you can't find one, really ask God to help you, because it's good to have a spot you can go and meet God. And then you go there, and just sometimes that you just never want to leave that place. You just want to stay there. And yes, it is possible. It will not happen every time. You know, I guarantee that probably it will not happen every time. But there is times when you're in there with God, and He's just ministering to you. He's ministering to your soul. And we need to use everything at our disposal that we can use. And like I said, most of us have smartphones. And you can, you know, I would encourage you to put a worship list together, some songs that really touch you. I have 3 or 4 on my list. You know, I love Breakthrough by Red Rocks Worship. I put that on. Or I put the one I'm going to play at the end of service today, Cody Carnes, you know, Run to the Father. And then I like Phil Wickham about The Battle Belongs to the Lord. There's 3 or 4 that really gets me there. You know what I mean? And I play those songs, and it really gets me where I need to be with God. And yeah, I use that. I use that technology if it helps me. And I encourage you to take advantage of that. So it's about worshiping also. Now, Jesus talked here about vain repetitions. So that's where we can kind of get a little wondering what that means. Now, the Gentiles, meaning the non-Jews at that time, they believed if you prayed longer, God would answer your prayer. You know what I'm saying? So they would put these long prayers together. And they figured that the longer they prayed, the better chance of success they get. Now, doesn't work that way. See, you and I should know that the Lord measures prayer by depth and not length. See, it's about going deep. It's about going deep with God, exposing your heart, allowing yourself to come to Him. You know, He knows what's in there anyway, but it's good for us to verbalize it and to let it out there. You know, we shouldn't measure prayer by the mile, but by each step we take to get closer to God. And really, that's what it's about. Getting close to the Father, you know, and because like for me, I know I had so many misunderstandings about God growing up. I knew enough to be dangerous, and yes, I was. But I'll tell you what, when I started to get into the Word of God and started to understand some things about God that, you know, He didn't really hate me like I thought He did, and He didn't really mind if I had a little fun. And He, you know, just wanted to spend time with me. And, you know, somebody that famous, I mean, God is famous, right? I mean, here's a famous person wants to spend time with me. It just totally revolutioned the way I thought about things. Now, it says here about vain repetitions. Now, repetition is okay, you know, but not vain repetitions. So you need to kind of cipher between the two and get to the place, because there's certain prayers that we pray. Now, I'll be honest, growing up as a kid, I didn't really know a lot of prayers. Every night, I would pray, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I was scared of dying. And that's the only prayer I knew. And I probably prayed that all the way through from the time I remember till the time I met Jesus Christ. Because, you know, I, you know, was a little bit concerned about the way I was living. I knew where my destiny would probably be. And that's just all I knew. I didn't know anything else. I knew the Lord's Prayer. I'd pray that every now and then. But, you know, that one part where it gets tricky, you know, about do you say debts or trespasses, you know, and that one depends what denomination you're in. And, you know, I do that at the end of a funeral, out at the graveside. I say that, and you just know, you know, it's just different people say it different. So it's just kind of one of those things. But anyway, you know, the idea, what I think, though, with the Lord's Prayer, see, the Lord's Prayer can become vain repetition unless we stop and linger at each point. You know, what I mean by that is, and you'll see that when you look at this book a little bit, is the idea that when it says, "Our Father who art in heaven," well, you stop there a minute, you think about your Heavenly Father a little bit. And you start thinking about Him. You want to spend a little time there talking to Him about some Father stuff. And then you go, "Hallowed be Thy name." So you spend a little time there. That's a way you can linger, you know, in those things. And there's ways to do it, and that'll, I'm not going to go into all that right now. So, but we want to make sure that we don't do just vain repetition. Because what'll happen is that you won't be taking it seriously. And you'll just be praying and your heart won't be in it. Because I have a little confession book I've done for years. And I haven't done it as much lately. But, you know, once I start on that baby, I just confess these things. And I'm not even thinking about it. It's just it's kind of vain repetition. So we need to get beyond that. Now, something I want to talk about is kind of a side point, but it's something that I really feel we need to address. You know, the idea of manipulative prayer. Have you ever had manipulative prayer? And this is what I mean by that. You know, they can be, let's make a deal prayers with God. Have you ever tried to make a deal with God? God, you do this, I'll do this. Well, God does it, and we usually don't do our end. I don't know about you, but I usually fall short. And then there's a prayer that when we try to pray with someone, like you're in a group, and then you it's your turn to pray, or you want to pray, and you're trying to manipulate the person. I'm going to give you a little example about that. Let's say you're praying as in four or five or six people, and you're taking turns praying, and you're praying that, and this is what you say: "Lord, you know Sally needs to stop overeating, Lord." I mean, Sally's standing right there. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen stuff like this. You know, they say, "Lord, you know Sally needs to stop eating. Lord, you know I've tried to tell her. You know, Lord, you know that you've helped me. And Lord, I know you can help Sally. Lord, just sew her mouth shut, Lord." Or well, you know what I mean? I know that's kind of an over-exaggerated prayer, but I have witnessed that in prayer meetings where that's a manipulative prayer. That's the prayer that you might get whopped upside the head when you ain't looking prayer. You know what I'm saying? Because you got your eyes closed, and maybe Sally's eyes ain't closed no more. So she whops you upside the head, you know. Maybe how to pray a little better. "Lord, just help us not to surfeit." You know, that's a fancy word for overeating. That's a word in the Bible. "And help us to, you know, take control of our appetite. And Lord, we put our flesh under subjection in Jesus' name." Just leave it at that. You know what I mean? Don't get yourself in trouble and do manipulative prayers. There's another one in the Bible I like to share every now and then. Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 14, talks about two people going up to the temple to pray. One was a tax collector, which, how many people here love tax collectors? If the IRS is watching right now, I love you. You know, you are great. You're doing a good job. But anyway, you know, most people don't like a tax collector. And what it was, the tax collectors were kind of Jews, and they worked for the Romans, and the Jews really hated them. And the other person praying was a Pharisee. Okay, here's where it goes in Luke 18, 10 to 14. It says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. But he was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.'" He went on to say, "I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." And see, that's kind of a holier-than-thou prayer. And notice it said the Pharisee prayed to himself. He didn't even pray to God. He prayed to himself how he was more spiritual than this other person. So prayer is not a time to show off, but prayer is a time to humble ourselves and really come to God. Amen? All right, next point I want to see is how motive trumps pretty, okay? We need to have our motive right, and we're just going to go into this a little bit. See, it's not what we know, but who we know. So the most important thing is to, you know, not know just information, but it's about really knowing who we're praying to, and that's God. You know, you want to understand, you know, what that entails and what that's all about. See, we need to let God's goodness become our greatness. Because there's always the goodness of God on how he loves us. And to me, the goodness of God catapults us to another place. Because God came and his goodness towards us, even though that we fail, he picks us up and treats us with respect and brings us into his presence. And see, that in turn will help us to become better. See, God is not somebody that just puts us down. God is somebody that picks us up. And as we do that, and you say, well, why is that important? Because to me, the stronger you feel, the bigger threat you are to the devil. If you feel you're nobody, if you feel you're a worm, if you feel you're just barely getting by and you can barely go to God because of, you know, who you are or where you was raised, you're not really going to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. But what's going to turn it around is who, when you see what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross and the idea of who God looks at us and the authority of the believer of what he's put inside of you. See, it's not because we're so good looking, but it's because of the greater one that lives inside of us. And see, it's that authority, you know, that we need to see. Now, it's comforting for me to know that God will pass over a lot of smart people to get to a person of faith. And that's very important that we understand. You know, God is always looking for faith. So you don't have to know the Bible backwards and forwards and upside down. All you got to do is know enough to go to God. And you use your faith and God answers based on the premise of faith. Okay? And we don't pray for show. You know, prayer is not about performance, but it's about personal piety. It's a time when we put our flesh down. It's a time when we come into God's presence and our flesh is telling us, we don't want to do this. Your flesh, the last thing it wants to do is get up early and pray. You know, some of you have to get up at an early time maybe to go to work. And, you know, maybe you start out, you know, don't start out at shooting for an hour or however you want to pray. You know, just start for 10 minutes or something like that. Get up a little bit early and pray a little bit. Like I say, you set an alarm on your phone in case you doze off or something, you know. But anyway, just work on yourself, putting that flesh down, telling your flesh what to do. It's important that we see this. See, the Pharisees loved to be seen praying in front of people. Their motive was to look at me instead of look at God. And we need to get that, past that in our life. Now, the Lord measured a prayer, Solomon's prayer, by what he asked in 1 Kings chapter 3. And I think that's kind of how we measure up sometimes, you know, by the things that we ask God. You know, God was impressed that Solomon didn't ask for things. You know, maybe it's a thing we don't ask for, maybe defines us sometimes. I don't know. But Solomon, when he prayed to God, see, he had been groomed to be the king, and finally David, you know, it was time for him to die, and Solomon was going to take the crown, and you know, there was a little bit of stuff going on there with his brother. They thought he wanted it, and anyway, but make a long story short, Solomon was the one that God picked. And so Solomon was ready to become king, and this was a defining moment. It was his time. He was just starting out, and you know, God, you know, he's going to ask God, you know, help him, you know. And what did he ask for? God says, well, you know, blends. He did not ask for long life, that he'd live long, and that's not wrong to ask for. He didn't ask for riches, and hey, we need money. And he also didn't ask for the life of his enemies. But well, here's what Solomon asked for. He asked for wisdom, discernment to understand justice, and to put his people ahead of himself. And you know what God did? God gave him that, and he gave him the other stuff too. Because God could tell his heart. Now, we know Solomon had some issues along the way, but yet God put his hand upon him and blessed him. Lastly, I want to look at the idea of the language of prayer, which is the title of the message. And I want to see us get to the place that you and I grow in our vocabulary. And it'll bless you. It'll bless you beyond all you could ever really ask or think. So as we grow in our vocabulary, like I mentioned, you know, it's nice to be able to carry on, you know, especially, you know, young mothers can relate to this, or maybe you've been a young mother, now you've gone past that, but you know, I've heard a lot of young mothers tell me that, you know, they just want some adult conversation. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, you spend time talking to kids and, you know, you have to, I don't want to say dumb it down, but you know what I mean? You can't really express everything. And it's kind of like that with God. I mean, Yes, we need to become as children, God says, but nevertheless, I do think we need to become an adult in our prayers and be able to ask for things. And I think being able to form, you know, good prayer thoughts together. See, what I found out is that prayer is a language of love. It's a language of love. Now, this is something I need to work on. I'll be honest, I've said this before. My least favorite book in the Bible is the Song of Solomon. I just don't care for that book. I mean, I'm sorry, God, but I mean, I don't care for that book. The way it's worded, I don't understand some of it. You know, it's an allegorical, but also it's talking about some love things. Now, I've tried a few things of that on my wife, you know. You know, I told her that her her teeth look like freshly shorn, where they cut their hair, sheep. Man, that didn't do nothing, you know. Just nothing there, you know. So I don't know, it's just hard. But anyway, you know, what I found in my life is some things are hard to put to words, but we need to put them to words anyway. We need to learn how to put them to words. It's only important. You know, I remember one time, you know, every now and then you got to tell this, you know, tell your spouse you love them, right? Well, I remember one time, you know, we was there and like I've mentioned before, I think, you know, but when I'm ready to get into sleep mode, I don't like to think. You know, don't make me think about deep thoughts, because if I start thinking again, I'm awake. And that just wrecks my whole night. So I have a system where I shut my mind down, you know, when I go to bed. Anyway, I might have told my wife, well, I did tell her this. I said, I love you. And I thought that was it. I thought that was good. That ought to have been good for anybody, in my opinion, you know. Then she come up with this. Why do you love me? I looked like a deer in headlights. I mean, oh my gosh. I'm going to have to take my feelings to a different level now. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to have to think about this a minute. You know, I know I don't want to say I love you because you're a good cook. You know what I mean? That ain't going to work. You know, I love you because you take such good care of the kids or care of the house. No, she wanted me to tell her why I loved her for just being her. And at that time, I was scared. I panicked. Because I have said the wrong thing before. I have a sense of humor that gets me in trouble. You know? So I knew that this was a serious question. So anyway, evidently we survived it. So I don't remember what I actually said, but I said something good, I think. But anyway, I think it's kind of like that, you know, with God. You know, do we just love God for what he does? Or do we love God for who he is? And I think when we're praying to God, we just don't say, God, I love you. I love you because you've given me money. Or God, I love you because you've given me a house or you've given me a car and give me this and give me that. No, we love God for who he is. And then we need to go deeper. Who God is and why do we love him for that? It's in that book. Makes you want to get that book, don't it? I'm just teasing. I think it's in there. It is in there. But, you know, but we need to get better at going deeper, because prayer is a relational thing and it's not a ritual. And we can make that if we're not careful. You know, it's easy to love God for hand to mouth, but we need to love God heart to heart. Because we get caught up thinking about what God's done for us instead of who God is to us. And that's what we need to get better at vocabulary and saying. So now, as well as a language of love, prayer is a language of dependence, okay? The Father wants us to be reminded how much we need him. I mean, I don't know about you. On one hand, I like it when my kids grow up, but it is still kind of nice that they need me every now and then. You know what I mean? Makes you feel connected, you know, that your life has some sort of purpose. And see, prayer reminds us that we're not in control, but who is in control? And that's what we do, because we're going to someone greater than us, asking them for help. So that's a good thing. Now, persistent, desperate prayer expresses dependence on the Father. You know, when we're persistent and we're desperate. Now, for us in our culture, we probably do not get desperate very often, do we? Maybe if we get some bad news from a doctor, we can get desperate. Or maybe some things like that going on that make it, but for the most part, we're pretty self-sufficient. But we need to get to the place in our walk with God where we're desperate for Him to move in our life. Because when we pray specific prayers, we get specific results. I want to give an illustration I came across, and I believe it's from Our Daily Bread. It's a little publication they put out, kind of has some of devotion. And what it was is, I'm going to read this, try to do the best I can. Shortly after World War II, a woman entered a grocery store and asked for enough food for a Christmas dinner for her and her children. When the owner inquired how much money she could afford to spend, she answered, "My husband was killed in the war. Truthfully, I have nothing to offer you but a little prayer." The man, an unbeliever, was unmoved by the woman's need and said sarcastically, "Write your prayer on a piece of paper and you can have its weight in groceries." So his surprise, she picked a folded paper out of her pocket she'd already written out and said, "I did that last night when I was caring for my sick child." So he set, without reading it, he just set it on them old-fashioned scales. You know, it's got the two arms. He put the little prayer on one side. Then he started to set food on the other side. First he put some bread. The scales didn't move. Then he put some meat and some vegetables. And finally there was so much on there that the man got mad. "Here, no more can fit on this. You know, take it. Sack it up yourself." So the lady said, "Thank you," and she happily, you know, filled the bag and went off her way and was able to feed her children. The man took out the little piece of paper and opened it up, and it said, "Please, dear Lord, give us this day." And that's taken from the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And later he found out that the scale was broke, but every time he looks at that piece of paper, he wonders, you know, if God's hand was on that, which we believe it was. Amen. So the power of prayer, you know, the language of prayer. Pray from a position of authority. You know, we need to stop praying pretty pleasing prayers to the devil and tell him where to go, because we have authority over him. You know, we don't pray to God to take the devil out of our life. We tell the devil to get out of our life. Because why? Because we have the authority. Because we pray in the name of Jesus, it's as if God is praying, right? Because we are his ambassador down here on earth, so we have that authority to speak. So when we learn how to pray, and you know, we need to learn how to confront the enemy with faith-filled prayers. Because we are in a conflict down here, and we need to get the victory over that. We need to have fluency in prayer. You know, speaking to the Father should come naturally. You know, and you get that. Like I said, starting out, for me, I had to really think about what I was going to say. But after a while, it just come natural. You just start talking. And another way of speaking fast, if you want to learn Spanish, who do you hang around? Besides Vicky, she's a Spanish teacher. You hang around people who speak Spanish. Well, guess what? If you want to learn how to pray better, who do you hang around? People that pray. Simple as that. It's not rocket science, or I wouldn't be able to do it. See, also we should pray in the Spirit and pray in the understanding. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't received that, ask for it. Ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit, you know, will start to pray through you, and you know, pray for the evidence of speaking in other tongues and things like this, and that helps our prayer life. Pray the Word of God. Like I said, there's an anointing on it. Learn from prayers, warriors. You know, the disciples said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." If you see somebody praying good, you know, hey, develop a conversation. You know, read out the prayer. So as I close here, remember, as we grow in Christ, we need to grow in our prayer life. So I want to challenge us this year to up our prayer game, okay? Up our prayer game. You know, be more dependent on God. And they go where the source is. You know, I like cutting out the middleman. You know what I mean? Cut out the middleman. Just go directly to God yourself. You know, people say, "Pastor, would you pray for me?" And I know that's good. I do that. But, you know, my goal as a pastor is I want you to pray for yourself too. I want you to learn how to pray for people. You know, because I can't be everywhere at once. But I know that you can be the hands from this church that reach out and touch lives in this community. Amen. Let's pray.